I'm Alan Walker, and this is the People Podcast. We're doing something a little different for the next two episodes, as this is the first of a two-part podcast where Jeremy Russon speaks with Jack Parsons. We get some insight into Jack the person behind the selfie, and hear why he feels youth is so important. GoDaddy and Salesforce both get positive mentions, and we learn a new phrase, lockdown immune. Enjoy!
Please take your seats. This evening's performance is about to begin.
So welcome to another edition of the Chat Talent People podcast. I'm going to introduce our guests in a minute, but the real topic of today's conversation is really youth. And when we decided to do the podcast, I did a little bit of research around youth, and the definition is actually quite broad depending on where you look. You know, the Cambridge Dictionary gives it as the period between childhood and adult age. As plenty of us would say, we never went through that childhood adult progression, but so that's another story. The United Nations, they class it as 15 to 24. The Prince's Trust, 13 to 30. The Wellcome Trust, 16 to 30. And I'm sure there are plenty of other definitions, and we'll talk about those with our guests in a minute. What's really important, though, is the reason why this group has to be front and centre of everything we think about when it comes to opportunity, support, etc. And the thing that really struck me was that the cost of UK youth unemployment over the next decade will be £28 billion. That's in the UK alone. And that, and I'm going to check in a minute with our guest because that's straight out of his website, but it's likely this will be exacerbated by the pandemic. Now, I've given you a clue there as to who our guest is. It's clearly Jack Parsons, who I'm guessing lots of people will know or have heard of Jack and the fantastic work that he and the youth group do. So what we wanted to do today was find out a little bit about the man, more about the man behind the name, and really get some thoughts around the biggest challenges facing youth today. And of course, what we as the HR industry can do more of to help. So I guess without further ado, Jack, welcome to the Chat Talent People podcast. It's great to have you here. How are you?
Well, firstly, what a lovely introduction. And thank you so much. And thank you for welcoming on to speak with yourself, Jeremy, and your community. How you asked this question, how am I? And yep. I'm sure that the answer is going to be different for every single person who's going through the same kind of lockdown challenges. But for me, I've kind of become lockdown immune. And when lockdown first came into place, I was a bit nervous and a bit scared because I'm the kind of individual, for those who follow my work and those who don't, I'm an individual who gets about, shake hands, talk about the problem face to face, and have around about 15 meetings a day. And that all stopped, and I kind of lost who I was in terms of Jack's out on the road all the time, meeting these people. What do I do now? But actually, it's given me time to reflect, it's given me time to focus and really, really focus on what's important, not just in business, but just in life. And I've learned to respect time. I don't believe I ever respected time, and maybe that's because of my age, but I've really found comfort in myself and who I am and what we're doing. But one thing I will come out, the only thing I won't change at coming out of lockdown is, one, my selfies. I'm missing a selfie. And two, actually helping youth. And we're going to need to help them more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something we'll certainly pick up on later in the conversation, and it's because I think it's really important. The youth group website describes you as having a personal mission to knock down doors for others to walk through after having a tough upbringing and a lack of career support from your school. It's very personal, that, Jack. Are you okay to just give us a little bit of insight into your background?
100%. People who know me, Jeremy, knows that I'm very transparent, and not everyone agrees with what I say. And sometimes I don't agree with what I say after saying it. But I think I'm a big believer in being transparent and being authentic and being honest. And look, my upbringing, I grew up with an alcoholic parent. I grew up in a council estate. My mum was either in free mood, drunk, violent, or asleep. And I become a carer at a very young age. I kind of lost my adult, my childhood. I become an adult at a very young age. And school was a place for me to go and try and fit in. But I didn't fit in school because I had one school jumper. I was starving because I went out without dinner 3 nights a week because my mum, we had the gyro check would come through the post and then she would go and buy everyone a beer down the pub. And one thing that I always remember about my mum is that you wouldn't want to give her an arm wrestle. She'd beat everyone, Phil Mitchell and Grant Mitchell together. So she was that type of individual. And look, lovely, loving, caring woman, but just alcohol got in the way, which then got in the way of my childhood. And I was bullied until year nine because I had this one old manky school jumper and we just couldn't afford another jumper. And the only reason the bullying stopped is because I became 13 years old and I could actually take out a paper rand. So I took out this paper rand and I was earning 15 quid a week. And this 15 quid paid for my judo lessons. And when you're sinking, you start to learn how to swim. And I become a black belt in judo. And there's not many people know this, but I become a black belt in judo within 6 months. And my mum's advice, and I didn't take much of her advice because most of her words were slurred, was go in, take down the biggest kid and no one else will ever bully you again. So that's what I did. And the bullying...
And it's probably, I mean, it's probably, you know, we often say as parents, don't give your kids that advice, but it's probably the best advice you've ever received in your life for two reasons. One is the biggest kid is usually the one that people follow. And two, of course, that you also had a focus in your life in terms of the judo and that sort of structure that martial arts can give you. I did taekwondo when I was younger.
Wow.
That whole structure, and not a lot of people know that either, that structure is excellent and a good way of overcoming those initial challenges.
Totally. And it gives you a sense of belonging. People are there for one thing, and that's to team build and actually learn a skill. And you start having something in common with other young people, and it's not all about the Gucci jumper. It's about actually training and being there for the same purpose and the same reason, no matter your background. And that is when it really levels the playing field, because you're both there on the same mission kind of thing. So you're totally right. It really changed. It really gave me a sense of belonging and I started getting a bit more confident.
Yeah. And I guess it shapes your values as well. And that's presumably what's led you to the youth group. I know you didn't want to pitch the organisation, but do you know what? I think it's probably helpful in context of what we're talking about, just to give us a couple of minutes around the work that the organisation does. Would that be okay?
Yeah, of course. So A lot of the recruitment and HR industry will probably know me for my previous business as well, a company called Your Feet, which was a technology platform focused on diversity and inclusion to get young people into jobs. And on the back of that, I had a lot of investors in that business, and we can go into detail a little bit in the session. But on the back of the Your Feed, I've created this business called the Youth Group. I've not taken any investment. We've bootstrapped it. And what the Youth Group does is it improves the odds for young people. Firstly, it was in the UK. We're now opening up in New Zealand as well. So we're focusing on the Commonwealth. And it's to help young people get into employment, ready for employment and grow in employment. And that is from young people from disadvantaged backgrounds. And last year, we helped over 9,000 young people into work, all different types of communities and industries. And we run a community of 1.7 million young people. And our definition of young people is ages 18 to 30.
Okay. So that key sort of step after structured education finishes, the early education finishes through to... Yeah, as you say, as they turn 30. It's clearly you touched on so 1.7 million people in this community. And do you work completely independently or do you work alongside other organisations?
So we work alongside other organisations. We've got our independent programmes. A lot of what we do is partnerships. So I'm a big believer in three-way partnerships. And I believe that everyone can bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. So whether that's the Prince's Trust, whether that's a government body, or whether that's a corporate company. So let me give you an example. We run an accelerator for young people that want to become entrepreneurs, and we run that in partnership with GoDaddy. So GoDaddy, the domain company. And we use all their knowledge, all their great skills that they've got in terms of employees that work for them. We know the youth space. We know how to structure a program. And then we come up with this product that we provide young people for free. Everything we do for young people is free. And we share it with them so they can go on this 10-week program to learn how to do business. Is business for them? And then what is the next steps in terms of marketing, digital, raising investment? The last program we ran, it was 7 disadvantaged young people. And at the end of the program, we helped them raise 700,000 between them.
Excellent. That's brilliant. I mean, that's probably answered one of my later questions, actually, around if you had to handpick one program or individual success that you've been involved in, what would it be? Would it be that GoDaddy Accelerator?
GoDaddy Accelerator would be definitely one of them. Another one is we did a big partnership with the New Zealand government where we went over to New Zealand and we launched a program called Getting Employers Youth Ready, and actually creating dozens or hundreds of actually quick resources for small employers to better understand how to engage, connect, recruit and develop young people. We then went over to New Zealand with the Minister of Employment for them. And it was a mini state visit across the country, meeting hundreds and thousands of people to launch this program. And it was a really good 3 weeks. I was tired. I went over looking 15. I came back looking 28. And it was just a good program. And now you've got the likes of L'Oreal over there using it to get employees youth ready. Because I think we need to also understand, yes, there is young lazy people that sit on the couch and we need to help them get off the couch. But also, we need to educate employers and support employers, especially small employers who wear 5 to 10 different hats at once.
Yeah. And I guess that was one of my questions to come on to later. But the piece that you've touched on there that made me and throughout the beginning is the particular demographics of people that need more support. Now, clearly, we've got the Black Lives Matter and sort of mental health campaigns going on at the moment, and I don't like the word campaign because clearly they should just be embedded in our culture. They should be part of what we do. What would you think are the key sort of demographics that are more important to support in terms of youth?
So this question is such a rooted question, such a good question that we should be asking. And I believe there's a number of communities that need support, especially BAME communities, but also don't underestimate the actually help that young people need that you can't see. There's a lot of challenges. For instance, I'm a white guy, but five years ago, I was classed as disadvantaged. I couldn't afford the travel to get to an interview. And then when I didn't turn up to an interview, I was classed by the employer being lazy. So there's everyday challenges that we can't see that we need to open our eyes to that young people face. So yes, we need to champion. And I love what you said around it's not a campaign. That really, really grits my teeth. And when people say it's a campaign, especially with Black Lives Matter. And I live on the River Thames, and I'm lucky enough now to live on the River Thames. And it's been through hard work. And I see the peaceful protest happening. And it takes me a lot to cry these days. Mm-hmm. Because of what I've been through. And I actually brought a tear to my eye because the community feel, and there was different age groups, there was different races, there was different types of people, all going down to the US Embassy for one key focus. And that is so powerful, and that is so, it's so lovely. And what I don't like to see is when now we've got a number of organisations jumping on the bandwagon and using it as a campaign deploy. I've seen some great people, some great companies and brands doing some meaningful stuff before everything happened with Black Lives Matter. But I've also seen companies jump on. One that really stuck out to me, it was a tea bag brand. Mm-hmm. And they tweeted saying, we've stayed quiet because we're listening and educating ourselves. Yep. And then someone came in and said, basically, one of the statue protectors, as they're calling them, said something mean and said, oh, go away. So they commented back and said, never buy our tea again, which was, I thought was brilliant. And then PG Tips came in and said, oh, or our tea. And that is the community that young people want to see, the realness.
It's slightly different. I mean, I don't think you were necessarily old enough to remember the what happened with Rodney King back in, I think it was 92. There was similar sort of charity. You know, there was a police brutality issue in the States, a group of police killing a black guy. The sort of the uproar about it was, it was relatively short term. It was primarily driven by the black community. I see this very differently. I see that there's a lot more understanding and buy-in, not even buy-in, just acceptance from white communities about this.
This is not led by the black community. This is led by humans.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good phrase. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is human led, no matter where you're from. And I think that's why it brought a tear to my eye, you know, because it's so meaningful. And it's not just a good thing to do. It's the thing we need to do. It's the thing we should be behind. And it's the thing that needs to change. And the thing that really upsets me about it right now is, will change happen as quick as we need it to?
Yeah.
And we can go and protest, and we can do a campaign, as people call it, or whatever. But deep down, what are the fundamental changes that have taken place? And how do we track that impact and that theory of change in such a meaningful way where we never have to protest again? And about this subject, because it becomes everyday norm. So that is the bit that I have questions around. And what can we do next? And how can these business leaders actually now support the campaign, the movement, and actually say, this is how we put it into everyday life. And this is the things that we need to do. And this is the policy report we need to write. And I'm not seeing that kind of stuff right now that I'd love to see. The tangible next steps, actions that we can take to make this more meaningful.
I think we will very quickly start to see that. And I think just before we came on to record the call, I was on LinkedIn and I noticed, I haven't had a proper look at it yet, Salesforce have come out with not just a statement, but a statement and a plan of action that included, I can't remember the exact figures, but a certain number of their the companies that their accelerator invests in have to be for black founders. Their supplier base has to be 33% of their supplier base has to come from companies that are supported, or where the employers are primarily black. And there's some quite good stuff in there. And I think you're right. I think it's almost like they shouldn't have to jump on the bandwagon. Sometimes the bandwagon is where the right movement starts.
Totally. And I love that you've used Salesforce as an example, because I was on the call with them last week with the media team and stuff, and they are really taking this seriously. This is not a soundbite for them. They are really taking it seriously. They're pausing all their other focuses right now to say, no, we need to get this attention, because not because we want to, it's because we need to. And that's, yeah. And what a fantastic example of a brand who do what they say they're going to do. And they've been doing what they say they're going to do for years. They've got 1% with their Salesforce Foundation. Literally, if any employers looking at this, any diversity inclusion leads or any executives, definitely, I would say, and you've started the movement here, is go over to Salesforce and look what they're doing, because I think they're doing it right now.
Absolutely. And let's
I'm not commissioned by them at all.
No, me neither.
I've never taken any money from them at all. We actually don't work with them. I've only stepped inside their building once. So this is a real meaningful endorsement. Just to let people. Yeah, no.
best sort of endorsement, Jack, without a doubt. So we touched a couple of areas there that earlier in the conversation about companies that are doing or supporting youth better than some. Is there sectors that support it? No. So, for example, your board is primarily large organisations. Apart, I think there's one person who is an investor, if I remember rightly, but the majority are larger organisations. Do large organisations support youth better than, say, the startup sector, or are, you know, does tech do it better than financial services? Now, is there somewhere we have to start really focusing?
So, I believe that we have to lift everyone up for trying, and organisations, all different sizes, they do want to do the right thing. Some of them don't know how to. And whether you're a big organisation or a small, you can't compare a runner to a swimmer. You just can't, if you know what I'm saying here.
So yeah.
When the startup community shouldn't try to compare themselves to the big corporate who's got a team of 7 people just looking at diversity and inclusion, or CSR, or got a big talent team, compared to the startup who's got 50 to 60 employees who are kind of all mucking in and doing it from their cultural point of view. So yep. I believe different organisations have different roles to play. And but what's most important here, everyone has a role to play, Jeremy. And how big or how small that is, a bit like what you said, it's are they jumping on the bandwagon, or actually sometimes it's about getting the bandwagon moving and then getting things going. And so everyone's playing a different role. And the number of big organisations that I have on my advisory board and the C-suite that I get the opportunity to talk to on a weekly basis, they want to make change. And some are really making change, but it's working out what change do we make?
Yeah.
And where do we send our focus? Because we focus on everything, we focus on nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's quite a big question that a lot of companies do ask in the diversity and inclusion space. You know, should we focus on this bit for 1 year, or actually should we focus on everything?
Yeah. I've had it pointed at me over the last 5 years. Why are you only focused on youth? Don't you think elderly people need help? Why are you focused on 18 to 30s? What about 7-year-olds that need support and everything? And I turn around and say, I'm supporting a part of the community that needs help.
Yeah.
Based on the stage of life I am at the moment. And I put my hands up. Everyone, no one should be left behind, and everyone needs a helping hand in something, whether that's filling out a mortgage application, whether that's getting your first job, or whether that's dealing with emotional breakdown. Everyone needs support. And I'm not saying that people over the age of 30 doesn't need support and they should all be left behind, but I'm focusing, and we are focusing on a community that I believe, and we believe, we can make the most impact in right now.
Mm. And I get the comment about everyone matters. It almost comes back to the all lives matter piece, yeah. Doesn't it? Yes, all lives do matter, but you've got to have a focus here, and every organisation has to have a focus though, and your focus is on this community and the broader demographics within the community as well. So actually, in some ways, it's not just youth. You're also helping people with mental health challenges. The BAME community, you know, there's a much broader aspect. It's just that you've had to focus in an audience that you know well because you're part of that audience.
And totally, Jeremy. And it's an area I know well. I don't know many things well. And I think that's something I would love to obviously get across with you today is I don't claim to know all the answers. Actually, I know hardly anything. I have all the questions and I'm not a know-it-all. I don't believe that I have all the answers. I fucked up. Sorry, my language. I don't know.
We can start. Right.
You can bleep that out if it offends anyone. I apologize.
We'll put a rider in it.
Put something over it. And literally, I just look. I get things wrong every day. We all do. And but what I do is what I do know is I deeply care about young people. I'm in the community of young people and we and I understand how to engage, recruit and develop young people. Yes, if you were to talk to me about Bitcoin, I'm going to look at you and go, well, here, I sound a bit stupid and I won't talk about it. And that's why I've been so consistent across the years around focusing on the youth. And you go across my platforms or you see me in any article, I stay true to what I know. I don't try and be a know-it-all. And I think that can come across with, oh, he's now taking a selfie with this one and this prime minister and all this as an ego thing. I'm one of the most less egoist persons going, people going. But I had to get my brand out there because I was disadvantaged. I don't have a degree. I've not been given daddy's money to set up anything. I live on my own. I pay my own way. I pay my taxes. And it's had to be 7 days a week hard work. So when I go and do something, the reason why I started the personal brand and doing the personal branding and a lot of people that watch this will go, oh, here he is. We know. And it's not for an ego moment. It's not for a branding moment. It's to get to put me on a platform so I can be on that platform for young people. And as we grow, I'm not going to be that person on that platform. We've already got plans in place for me not to be the CEO when this gets to a stage because it's not the area that I want to focus on. So I wanted to get that across in terms of we know the youth space, but we don't know everything. And there's going to be organisations out there and employers and HR leaders and even yourself, Jeremy, that we'll see that things are working in their organisation and some of the advice that we give or we support may not work for an organisation in the fintech space, but might be brilliant for an organisation in the construction space, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, I wanted to get that across in terms of I don't know all the answers, but I definitely have all the questions. And right now we understand youth and that can change. You know, today's news is tomorrow's chip paper, they say.
Absolutely. And I guess the point in time where you step away from supporting youth is the point in time where youth doesn't that's need that support. or you turn 30. Yes, maybe that's I guess what it is. I just want to go back to something there, Jack, about the ego. So the people who usually when you're building a personal brand, it's pointless building a personal brand if you're not visible. And you know, you're building a personal brand because it supports the youth group and it supports the values of that organisation.
Yeah.
But it, you know, and usually what you see is people commenting on that either because they don't understand it or because they're actually genuinely egotistical twats themselves. And I think those are the two bits. So I wouldn't worry about that. Just do what you can do what you're doing because it's obviously working.
Yeah.
So I would just say that
And look, I've got better at it, and I get better. I think one of the communities that we should be really partnering with is the recruitment industry. But it's been more difficult for me. It's been the area where it's been the most difficult to in terms of recruitment agencies to partner. And I don't know what the reason why or what the purpose is, but actually we're an enabler. We've got 1.7 million young people we can put your way. for free. So I'm going to
be really controversial, and I apologise for any of the recruitment industry that are listening, but I was in it myself once, and I know that as a recruiter, you try and make the easy sell, and the people you're taking to them, Jack, aren't an easy sell. So if there's any recruitment companies out there that don't just want the easy sell, that really want to be part of this movement, look, get in touch with Jack. It's quite simple. This is the right thing to be doing, and embedding your values and the values you have around youth, Jack, in our community, in the recruitment industry, and in the broader HR space are absolutely key. So let's not beat about the bush on that one.
I would add, it might not be an easy sell, but I could make it an easy sell for you to get into the CEOs.
Exactly that. But just not James Watt at BrewDogs. But that's another story.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Head over to chattalent.com for more blogs, vlogs, webinars, and other great content about HR, talent, and recruiting. Everything you could possibly need. Enjoy.